Good afternoon, everyone. So first thing, gonna share these two sheets. We got some visitors. I recognize some new people today. Elsa, where are you? There's Elsa. All right, let's give her a big clap. And also, is it Isabel or Isabella? Isabella, she is there too. Let's give her a clap. All right, welcome. Okay, this is going to wake us up a little bit, but I have a gift for you guys today. So you can come up and grab one of these booklets and then also grab a pen and then you can return back to your seat, okay? So we will start in the back row and you can come up and get a booklet, get a pen, and then you can go back. Huh? Everyone, yeah. Even the old people. Is it almost done? Yeah, for sure.
Oh, not enough.
There's more here.
Oh, there's okay.
Just the highlighters?
No, unless you really want one to highlight.
It's a lot here. You can have two.
It's just enough pens.
That's a lot. Wow, that's a lot of money.
No, I know somebody.
No English.
Okay. So everybody, you could take one, yeah, two, if you want, the highlighter.
Is that one?
No.
Okay, so the booklet you have in your hand, I worked on this for the last maybe 3 months, putting it together, and it is yours to keep, but we are also going to be spending the next maybe couple of months going through it together. So Sunday sermon is going to maybe look a little bit different from what we are used to. I'm going to try something new, going to try something different. There are 24 parts in this booklet. So I'm still going to teach, I'm still going to preach, but you will also have this booklet to kind of follow along with, okay? And there are questions at the end of each part, which we will discuss together in Sunday school. So my hope is that hopefully as we go on this journey together, I'm kind of feeling like I'm at a point where I've taught you guys everything up until this point. And in order to move on with deeper understanding of God's word, this topic of spiritual warfare, we need to become more aware of it, and it needs to become a greater foundation in our Christian journey and in our lives. And I don't think I can teach anything really further unless we have a real understanding of this topic, okay? So that is for you to keep. I would ask maybe put your name on the front. Okay, and you have two choices after Sunday. You can either leave it here on the shelf, okay? If you don't think you're a responsible person, where you can take it home and make sure you can bring it back the next Sunday, then I would suggest that you leave it on the shelf. If you want to take it home and read through it in the week and study it in the week and then bring it back on Sunday, you are more than welcome to do that as well. And you can do that if you make sure that you bring it back on the next Sunday, okay? So that's kind of what the book is. There's still some more here. I know a few people are away today, and so that we will make sure that they get a booklet as well, okay? All right, so I think today we will mainly just go through the introduction part. So that is going to be page 1. Okay, that's what I'm mainly going to teach on today, and also possibly a little bit of part 1 as well, okay? But before we get into it, let's, as always, do what we do, which is pray. Father, I just thank you for this new season that we are in, and this topic of spiritual warfare. It is something that we need to become more aware of as Christians. And at the same time, God, it's important for us in our journey. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, you would give us revelation, and give us understanding as our foundation in Jesus Christ continues to be built. May we look at him and his example and how he dealt with things in the unseen world. And I pray that you would help us to also understand our authority in Christ, our identity in Christ. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just cover this atmosphere, cover this space, and help me to teach with love and also with your wisdom and with your guidance. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so I will ask you to turn to page 1. And this is going to keep some of the AV people. I already gave Jonathan a bit of a heads up. And he's training, so we know that there's a lot of growing pain sometimes when we're learning new things. You're doing an excellent job, Jonathan. That's part of the growing and the learning. And so as the AV guys are doing this, they're going to be scrolling through just so you have it in your hands. You also have it on the screen, so you can just follow along, okay? So let's start with the introduction. And I will say this first, is, you know, I've taught this topic maybe over the last, I want to say, 6 or 7 years as a pastor in most of the ministry settings that I've been involved in, right? And any time that I've taught on this topic, you know, some Christians get a little bit weary or they get a little bit scared. It's like, Pastor, you're going to talk about demons. You're going to talk about fallen angels. You're going to talk about the cosmic battle that we cannot see. And the point here is not for us to be afraid, because there is nothing that we have to be afraid of. If we are here today and we are a Christian, we are a born-again believer, then we are actually on the right side of the battle. We are saved by grace. We are children of God, and the enemy cannot actually do anything to steal our faith or to destroy our faith. But he does do that because many Christians are not aware of his tactics and his schemes. But the point here is not for us to be afraid, but the point here is that we would have a greater awareness. Okay, so as I teach on this topic, the point is that we would have greater awareness, okay, not fear. Now, for some of us, hopefully, as we grow in our awareness, right, we are going to learn a lot of different things, right? Like certain questions might come up. Can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Can a Christian be influenced by a demon? We will learn about that. We will learn about so many different things as it relates to the Bible. And there may be moments where you have questions, you don't understand something fully. That's okay. You can always come and ask me a question. I may not have the answer right away, but I will go and make sure that I find the right biblical answer to give you. Okay? So let's start here. What does it look like to live with a biblical worldview? Okay, there are so many different opinions, and I'm at the top of page one. Voices and ideas that bombard us each day. And yet God wants us to live with a worldview that is built and centered on His Word. As Christians, we can easily get distracted and drift away from God's will for our lives. And I believe a big part of this can be caused by what type of worldview we have. Our worldview affects our vision, how we think, and ultimately how we live. Okay, what is worldview defined as? Worldview is defined as the framework of beliefs and ideas that an individual or group uses to interpret and interact with the world. It influences thought, action, and perception, shaping one's understanding of reality, purpose, and values. Okay, so let's stop there for a minute. Worldview. This is important. Because all of us have a different worldview. Okay, we all have different opinions on what we think is important. Maybe some of those opinions have been influenced by our upbringing or influenced by different experiences in our life, or maybe even influenced by what we've been taught in the church. But ultimately, our worldview should be influenced by the Bible and what God says, what Jesus says, how Jesus lived. I'll give you an example. Sometimes as Christians, we like to create a hierarchy of what is important, right? Some of us will say, well, you know, for me, family is the most important. Some of us say that. Number one thing to me is family. Family is the most important thing. Then second is my service to Christ, my relationship with God. And then third is like career, education, all of those other different things. Now, if you have that worldview that family is the most important thing to you today, I would submit to you that you are actually living with an unbiblical and a wrong worldview, according to what Jesus says. Because Jesus says that He should be the number one priority. He should be the most important person in our life. It's actually not our children, it's not our spouses, and it's not our family, but it's God. And everything about the kingdom of God, everything about what Jesus says is important becomes our number one priority. And Jesus Himself says that if you love your mother, your father, your son, your daughter more than me, then we are not worthy to be His disciple. Those are His words. Now, I can see some minds thinking because you're hearing those words, which is the Bible, and immediately some of us are trying to redefine that in our head. Well, what does that mean? That if I love my family more than Jesus, then I'm not worthy of being His disciple. Of course, God cares about family. Yes, He does. But our family should not become an idol. That means that our family should not be so important or more important than our relationship with God that it distracts us and takes us away from the things God wants us to do. That is ultimately what Jesus is saying, to be aware of our heart, be aware of our priorities. Okay, some of us, others of us, we may have a worldview, especially for the young people. You might have a worldview where school is the most important thing right now. Got to get that A in French, or got to get that B in math. I know, that's a low standard. That was my goal. Getting a B in math, that was good for me. That's a low standard, I know, for some of you. Okay, it's an A in math, but mine was like a B. I was good with that. My parents were okay if I brought home B's and C's. I know that's not acceptable in some households, but if that is your ultimate goal, to do well in education, get into the right university, then that is also a different type of worldview, right? But we are called to live with a biblical worldview. So what is a biblical worldview? As Christians, this is how we should be living. But a biblical worldview, okay, middle of page one, is a framework for understanding and interacting with the world that is rooted in the Word of God. Okay, it serves as a lens or a pair of eyeglasses through which individuals interpret ideas, experiences, and choices, aiming to align their thinking and actions with biblical truths. Okay? I know that I am sometimes loud as a speaker. I'm not angry, okay? Just giving you guys a heads up. I just speak very passionately. But when we're talking about biblical worldview, okay? It means everything that we think we know or that we've come to know growing up, right? We all have an idea of certain things based, again, on our upbringing, our culture, traditions, church traditions, all of these different things. And that's okay. We all have different experiences, different upbringings, different thoughts, different ideas, different opinions on how we view the world. So what is God saying? He's saying that is okay. But now as we read the Bible, our worldview should be reshaped or redefined or molded into what God desires. Okay, not necessarily what we think is right or what we want or what we think is important, but the Word of God, God's Word. We need to take that seriously. We need to tremble at His Word. We need to approach His Word with reverence and say, okay, God, You know best. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I am going to trust You and surrender to You and what You think is right. Okay? But having a biblical worldview, it shapes everything. Our ideas, our experiences, our choices, okay? And it's like wearing a pair of eyeglasses, okay? I'm going to demonstrate this to you. I'm going to ask Samuel to come up. Samuel's my go-to volunteer, and I promise this time, Samuel, you will not injure your hand, okay? I know last time you had an injury, okay? Me and Samuel were working on this relationship where I call him up to help out. Last time he got injured, so he's like, Pastor Christian, what's up? And I know he ran into a chair. I promise you this time, no running, okay? You're just going to stand right here, safe. Cool? All right. Are you nervous?
A bit.
All right, so let's show it this way, okay, in terms of what it means to have a biblical worldview. So I said our worldview all depends on the type of lens that we see the world through, right? Or depends on the lens that we are looking through. For some of us, right, as Christians, we sometimes have a worldly worldview, right? Or there is a we're distracted by the things of the world. And some Christians even journey with a distracted worldview. Their focus is on money. This is their God. This is their focus. This is what becomes their priority. And their focus shifts back and forth between the things of the world and God. Maybe, you know, for some in this room, you might say, okay, well, it's not exactly money, right? That is my distraction. But maybe it could be pleasure. That is sometimes our distraction as well, right? Maybe pleasure becomes our distraction. What we get satisfaction from, what pleases us, what makes us happy, more than what God says about how we should be living, okay? So worldly things becomes the focus, depending on the type of lens that we are looking through. You okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Sometimes, even more than that, some Christians, they actually journey with a selfish worldview. Okay? Their focus is only on themselves. And they live with an extremely selfish worldview. Okay, everything that they see, everything in life is all about them. It's only about them. That's all they see. That's all they know. Even when they do things spiritually, it's centered on them and what they will get out of it. It's a selfish worldview. And in no way am I saying that Samuel here, my good friend, lives like this, but this is just for the example. All they see is themselves. Okay? As we go on, some Christians, they just lived with a deceived worldview. Okay? And this type of worldview is just completely blind. You cannot see. It is dark. There is deception. There is blindness. There is what the Bible calls a veil over the eyes, where they are deceived. They are completely blinded to the true and eternal realities. And this individual lives with a huge amount of wrong thinking and religious mindsets. Different lens affects our worldview. We talked about this word a couple of weeks ago, that even as we are deceived, sometimes legalism affects our worldview, right? We see our Christian journey only as an obligation to fulfill certain rules. Maybe rules that our parents have or rules that other people have. We just find ourselves on the journey fulfilling rules, fulfilling tasks, being obligated to duty and culture and tradition, and legalism becomes our motivation. Different experiences also affects our worldview. And when we have different experiences in our worldview, it affects our ability to journey in the way that God desires. Okay, now, if this were somebody real in life, this looks quite foolish to be distracted by the things of the world as a Christian. Pleasure, selfishness, legalism, our own experiences, and even deception. So how do we live with a biblical worldview? The only way to do it is that as we read the Bible and we study the Bible, the only way to live with a biblical worldview is to remove the deception and the blindness, work on getting rid of our pride and our own selfishness, and even fight to not get distracted by the things of the world. And ultimately, we live according to the Word of God. with a lens that is the Word of God. Okay, those are Bible verses if you can't see. Okay? If we have a lens that is focused on the Word of God, if our pair of eyeglasses is strictly focused on the Word of God, then the Word of God begins to cut and expose the areas of our past, the hurt, the trauma, the wrong thinking, and it begins to heal and build us up with right thinking, revelation, and faith. We begin to journey with clarity and build a right foundation that is grounded in truth. When we align our experiences, our ideas, our opinions, and our choices with the truth of God's word, then our identity is refined. Our mindsets are refined. Our perspectives are refined. And our purposes in life are refined with a focus on God and ultimately what he desires and what he wants. Okay? Thank you, Samuel. You did an amazing job. Let's give him a big round of applause. You can have a seat. So this is how we live with a biblical worldview. We have to work on removing the deception, which we will understand a little bit more about later in the spiritual warfare study. We have to fight not to be distracted by the things of the world and not to be overcome by our own selfishness. And we have to live according to the word of God. Okay, let's continue in the booklet. It says we all have different lens in which we view the world. Some of us can live with a distracted worldview, a selfish worldview, and even a deceived worldview. The only way to live with a biblical worldview is to humbly submit to the authority of God's word and allow it to guide our thoughts and actions, how we think about ourselves, God, others, and our purposes in life should all be rooted in the word of God. Our minds should be fixed on the word of God. Our choices should be guided by the word of God. And our lives should ultimately be centered on the word of God. David Platt, a pastor in Washington, he quoted, "If we want to know the glory of God, if we want to experience the beauty of God, and if we want to be used by the hand of God, then we must live in the word of God." Now here is the challenge. Okay, we will ultimately learn what is the number one thing that Satan wants to attack in your life. Okay, and we're going to understand. Actually, Satan is probably not the one coming to distract you and deceive you and get you not to believe in God. He's too busy dealing with things in the world like Iran and Trump and bombs and all these other things. But there is a kingdom of Satan that we will understand. There are fallen angels and there are demonic spirits that are looking to influence your life. Okay? And I want you to imagine right now that we are in this room. How many of you watched the latest movie, Superman? All right, good for you. It was horrible. But compared to other ones, there's one scene in Superman, okay, that I will explain to you that for those who did not watch it. But okay, everyone knows Superman is Clark Kent, right? Okay, so there's a scene where Superman is talking to the woman that he loves, Lois Lane, and they're in a room, in a living room, and they're talking. And on the outside of the window, there's two aliens fighting, right? And they're just completely just focused on each other. They have no awareness of what is happening outside the window. These two aliens are just interacting and they're fighting, and Lois and Superman are just talking and enjoying coffee and enjoying hot cocoa and just having a conversation. And they have no idea, like no focus on what's happening outside. Well, that scene paints a really good picture, because that is actually most Christians when it comes to the unseen world. We just live our lives day in, day out. We go about our business every single day. And we don't realize that, just like in that movie, outside the window, there's a battle going on. We don't realize, or we don't really take it that serious, that there is a battle that is going on. There is a battle happening even right now in this room. There's a battle that is happening for you and for me to hear the word of God. Not just hear the word of God, but to actually receive the word of God with revelation. And why some of you leave every Sunday without really changing is because there is a battle that is happening, and we don't know how to fight it as Christians. We don't know how to take authority against the kingdom of Satan, because we think that we're just living day in and day out and nothing is actually happening in the unseen realm. Well, I would absolutely submit to you right now that there is a battle that is happening in your mind. There is a battle that is happening around you for your faith, for your relationship with God, for how effective you are in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that the number one thing that Satan is looking to attack is, how do we receive the word of God? How do we live in the word of God? How do we make the word of God a central part of our life, where we actually begin to develop a biblical worldview? That is the number one thing that Satan will do to distract us as Christians. Okay, if you've already made a decision to receive the free gift of grace from God, and you've made a decision to get water baptized, I've said this before, that when you made that decision to get water baptized, you weren't just actually doing something ritually to get in the water and come out. What you are actually doing is supernaturally declaring to Satan and his kingdom that you no longer belong to him, but that you now belong to God, and that you are now a child of God. And those spirits are going to try to do everything they can to get you back. And if they cannot get you back into where you are not believing in God, then what they will do is just simply try to distract you. Distract your life. Make your life ineffective for the kingdom of God. Okay? And so I'm going to assume that the main group of people here, after having a chance to talk to most of you, is that we are believers, we are Christians, we belong to God. So Satan is not actively looking to get us back to be his children. He may try, but he's not going to succeed, because we will learn that we cannot actively lose our salvation. And that's a hot topic today, our conversation. Can a Christian lose their salvation? But what Satan will do is just distract you. He'll get you caught up with a whole bunch of things that don't matter eternally. He'll deceive you into thinking that you are not worth Christ dying for you. He'll mess you up with your identity. He'll even cause doubt and unbelief in your heart. So you say to yourself, well, I don't want to believe in this God. How can I believe in this God? Satan will do everything he can to cause you to doubt the goodness, the love, and the grace of God. And then, if you actually become a Christian, what he will try to do is just distract you from living your life according to the Word of God. He wants you living with a deceived worldview, a selfish worldview, a distracted worldview, not a biblical worldview. So we are going to understand as we go on this journey. There's two things that I hope and I'm going to pray for you as the congregation. Two things that will happen at the end of this journey. Number one is that you will have a much more biblical worldview when it comes to your Christian journey. You'll be more aware of things that maybe have not been taught so often to you. And the number two thing is that your mindset will change, where you will become a soldier of Christ. Okay, not a casual churchgoer, but a soldier. Because that is what we are called to be, soldiers. And if you signed up to be a Christian without the understanding that you were signing up to be in a battle and to be in a war, well, then you've really partly misunderstood what it means to be a Christian, because we are at war and we are in a battle, and we're going to understand what that battle looks like and what that war looks like. And we're going to get a biblical understanding of what this battle means for us as Christians. Okay? So I ask that you join me in praying, okay, that our biblical worldview will grow and our mindset, that we will grow to understand that we are soldiers of Christ. Okay? And if our mindset can change and our worldview can change and we are wearing the right pair of lens and glasses, well, the Bible says that we will be an unstoppable force against the kingdom of darkness. And as we engage in this fight for lost souls, because that's what the battle is for, that's what the war is about. It's for lost souls coming into the kingdom of God. Then we will understand how to fight that battle and how also to protect ourselves in the midst of it. Okay? So next week, we're going to get into part one. So again, if you want to leave your booklet here, just put your name on it and you can put it on the shelf. Or if you want to take it home, you're welcome to do that as well. Please just make sure you bring it back next week. And as we go on this journey, I know there's some new people here. You're welcome to come back if you like. So you picked a really cool Sunday to be here. Like, it's a topic that not many people want to hear about. But if you want to hear more about it and learn about what spiritual warfare means as a Christian and what the Bible says about it, then you are welcome to come back and to go on this journey with us. And I'm praying that Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us as we go on this journey together, okay? Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, I just thank you that we are in a new season, once again, where you want to equip us as the church. God, we see so many examples in the Bible where people of faith, they just understood that there was a real war that was taking place. And God, I just pray that you would help us to live with that same perspective. That as we go on this journey as Christians, I just pray that you would help us so that our identity in you is so secure that we would know that first and foremost, we are absolutely loved and accepted and important to you, God. And that you call us into being soldiers of Christ. That is what this is all about, is that at the end of the day, you desire for us to live our lives in a way where we can make a difference in the world around us and where we can impact the world around us. So I know we're going to go on this journey. We are going to become more aware of what your word says about Satan, about fallen angels, about demons, about how Jesus interacted with demons. We're going to get a really good understanding of what that looks like. And as we go on this journey, I just pray that you would help us to have a biblical worldview and also help us to grow in the mindset of being a soldier in the army of God. And I pray that you would protect each of us. I pray that you would guard our minds, guard our hearts, guard our lives. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you alone would bring wisdom and revelation and understanding. In your name we pray. Amen.